This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yeah, we talk education. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Friday, you might not know what that means. You might know what we kind of do on Fridays, but Johnny, man, we got a new title for our Fridays coming in here. You know,
it's spring, Tim. I mean, it's spring. We got opening days happening all around the country. You know, we love some baseball here at Busted Pencils, and in so many of our listener communities, winding down on winter essentials. Tim, you'll explain that in a minute. What the heck does Johnny mean about these essentials? But Fridays, folks, we always break down our favorite extracurriculars. Hate calling it that, right? But the essentials here. We break them down and we kind of highlight or spotlight some of those fantastic features about, you know, being part of our public education system is so much more than just reading, writing, arithmetic, those things. Of course, we get our learn on. And we love all of that content and all the work that teachers and students are putting in their classrooms. But so much of being a student or being a participant in public education is about those extra things that here at Busted Pencils we call essentials that round out a real, I don't even know what to call it, a high quality whole education. I mean, sometimes when I was a student, it was like what made school fun sometimes. And then as a teacher, I was like, well, hey, us teachers, we're pretty fun. I mean, you know, even when we think we're fun, the students are like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you can only make math so fun. And I have a math party in hand, so I can make math pretty fun. But nothing quite tops those other activities that complement their education that students are such a part of and that our communities are too, because that's part of public education is its connection to community. Right. And so in a strong democracy, we have like economic connections to all the different ways we come together in our towns, cities, all those kinds of ways we identify, come together to celebrate football games in the fall. Of course, other things, basketball games, hockey games in the winter. We're just coming off of celebrating all those. Wrestling too, Tim, big fan of wrestling. Mm-hmm. But now it's spring. Mm. So folks, we got for you, our Friday segment's going to drop. Hurdles and home runs. Ooh. That's right, baby. Hurdles and home runs.
Home runs. Go. I like that. Hurdles and home runs. I got to tell you, with 29-inch legs, I was not the star hurdler in my days. Just pointing that out in case I know listeners are always wondering, like, Tim, were you like a top-notch hurdler? And the answer
is, we just hurdled you.
Yeah, exactly. They put me out there like, you know, see if we can. Yeah. Anyway, I love this, Johnny, though. You're talking about essential curriculars versus extracurriculars. It's not a versus. We kind of put this out there so that, you know, we all know and we hear this, you know, what are the extracurriculars that are going on in school? And we've talked about this in Busted Pencils. You know, maybe the labeling them as extra is part of the problem, because when we say things are extra, that could mean the possibility that, well, you know, if we don't need them, let's get rid of them, or potentially, you know, downplay them. And the reality is that an education, a fully kind of accessible, awesome, great education includes what we call the extracurriculars, whether that's sports, whether that's drama, whether that's government clubs, whether that all of those come together to really create that whole education experience. And that's why what we call here, we say there are essential curriculars, the essential curriculars. Johnny,
I love what you're talking about, Tim, with those essentials. And, you know, Tim reminded me too. He said, you know, government clubs. I was like, wow, Tim, I totally forgot how much as a teacher, I loved this. I got to be a chaperone one year as a teacher. And then I became a huge fan of Model UN. And in the spring, we went to Washington, D.C. with a group of high school students, man. And this was cool. Like, I had not been a part of anything like this as a student. And then as a teacher, I got asked to chaperone the trip. Of course, loved all my students. And some of my athletes were like, hey, we're going on this Model UN trip. we're going to miss some practices. I said, okay, it sounds like a great opportunity. They asked me to chaperone. Essential activity all the way, man. This was so cool. We went to Washington, D.C., got to watch these young folks model being in the UN, like taught, like work on real world problems together, propose solutions, democracy in action. You just reminded me of that experience, Tim. So it's spring. I know Model UN is year round, but there are Model UN events that are absolutely popping off all over.
It's Model UN. And, you know, point this out. When I was a fifth grade teacher, you know, guess what? We had our ad hoc. I put this together, our Civil War Club. Right. Yeah, people remember this, you know, because we, when I was teaching fifth grade, we were located right outside the town of Gettysburg. And that was, you know, kind of right there in our backyard. And so the idea of putting together this group, you know, and that I'm telling you now, you ask those fifth graders who today are 40 some years old, they still let me know that that was one of the best experiences they had in that education of not just being in fifth grade, because it gave them that ability to understand where education makes those connections. And so I am, you know, here's, we come into hurdles and home runs. And Johnny, you said baseball, but let's not forget softball, because, you know, where I'm at here in Ohio, you know, right outside a campus of a higher ed institution, across the street from me is the female softball field. And I know it's spring because I can hear them out there practicing. I can hear when the games start, the announcers on it. And there's a feeling of going, man, that is what makes living in this community, that excitement, that hearing of the bats cracking, the hearing of the announcer. And you sit there and go, you know, this is an essential. This provides for the college education in this community to be able to see this. And so the residents here, me, I'm a resident, the residents here, we go out there and we go and watch the games because we can hear them. And there's something about that that lifts us. So, Johnny, you know, I can't wait to hear about, you know, as we continue this segment through the spring, you know, what's going on with some home runs, some softballs, what's going on in track. You know, I made a joke about hurdles, but you know, when both my son and daughter were in high school, they ran track, and I would go to all of the meets and sit up, you know, and go out there and watch. And again, wonderful experiences. You know, we had a little bit of fun with Chad and Jimmy when we were talking about that, as they go out to cover particularly track events here in March. You know, some days it's 30 degrees with rain and snow in the air. And other days it's 65 degrees and sunny. That's the kind of outside weather you're going to get during these hurdles and home runs. I almost said free throws again. Hurdles and home runs. Because, you know, it's the spring sport. I will tell you, John, my memory, though, of spring sports, my own, I got to point this out. I got to tell you, it was, oh my God, wrestling season is finally over, which was usually mid-March. And having played football and wrestling, you know what the spring sport was for me?
Eating.
Nothing. Yeah, eating. Exactly. Again, finally.
We've talked about it here back when we were in sports. Wrestlers, you know, weren't necessarily known for their best diet during their season.
But it was eating, and it was the whole idea of, wait, school's over, I get to go home?
Yeah, you had some
what's that like? Yeah, you know.
Off season.
And that's why I loved spring, that feeling of, and then guess what? I felt more inclined now to support my buddies who were some of them were doing tennis, spring tennis, and doing their track and field. You know, my best friend was part of the state relay team that won, you know, I think that year they actually won the states, and I got to go. And that was really something special for me. So that's my own memory there, Johnny.
Oh, I love that, Tim. I love that we're doing that today too, doing a little inventory and memory of, you know, spring essential activities we were part of. I know I threw that Model UN out there. Love that. That's maybe one of my tops, actually. Like, I loved going in the spring to DC with the Model UN crew. Loved Washington, DC as just a, like, I mean, what kind of social studies teacher wouldn't love being in DC with a group of students, right?
Right.
Such an amazing thing. Listener, if you haven't ever gotten to travel to Washington, D.C., it is a magnificent trip. Even if you're not like the biggest historian or you're not super interested in museums, you know, our tax dollars go to these amazing institutions, the Smithsonian's, and they are unreal, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
Like, I mean, I was shocked when I had first taken a trip there, like all the learning and all of the enjoyment. And, you know, I mean, I might be wrong. It's been a few years since I've been there now that I'm over on the west side of the country. But I'll tell you, I believe that we get into those museums for close to free. It's like, I'm used to paying a lot of money to bring students into a space like that. And I think it's all open for the public, and it's pretty amazing. Other than that, Tim, you nailed it. My biggest and strongest memories of any spring essential activity that was outdoors was, as you nailed it, you know, I'm a former Detroiter, right? So it was similar to our Wisconsin listeners' experience with spring. It could snow. I mean, even in May, it could snow. Yeah. It might be cold. It might be 80 degrees. Right? It might be pouring rain. We may have a tornado warning. So we had like all that's the sports season where every element is in play. Exactly. Every element is in play if you're outdoors. So, you know, loved lacrosse, also a spring sport, big lacrosse player. I mean, hockey season wound down for us and we started to, you know, go out, hit golf balls, get ready for summer. A lot of golfing coming up, high school golf teams around the country, getting those clubs out, getting their practice swings in, getting ready for their competition. Also, lacrosse. Loved playing lacrosse, and that was a big one too. You know, a lot of us hockey guys, we never really had an off season. So we just, you know, it was something in the fall, something about hockey in the winter, straight through the whole winter, then right into lacrosse. And we were going, and I can remember, man, it's snowing today. Okay, we got to go out and play lacrosse. All those things. Another fun memory, Tim, is my freshman year, I didn't make the lacrosse team and I was kind of devastated. You know, it's good. Sometimes you don't always make the sport you want to be at. We had, you know, we didn't have a freshman team. We only had a varsity and JV, and I went to a juggernaut of a sports school in Michigan. And so I got cut and I was like, oh, how could I have gotten cut? What am I going to do now? An off season didn't exist in the Lupinacci household. You had to be in an extracurricular because like too much time at home was not an option in our family. So I said, well, what can I do? And the advisors, my school, my homeroom teacher said, why don't you come out for track? So I joined the track team and became a pole vaulter.
No way.
Little fun fact about me, became a pole vaulter. So pole vaulting in the spring, I spent a good whole season of learning how to pole vault. Loved it, man. There's nothing like running with a giant stick, you know, and then whoop, bending it and flinging yourself way high in the air and landing on a mat. I thought, this is amazing. Like, how is this? Like, I didn't know this was a sport. I got to learn it. My coach, Father McKernan, just an amazing guy. Probably one of the best coaches I ever had, too. So one of the strongest influences on me as a teacher and as a coach was Father McKernan, who interestingly enough was a local priest we had in our community in Detroit, who was my grandmother's priest. So like the church she went to, he was a priest later than he was, you know, a teacher and a coach at the high school I was at. But yeah, Father McKernan taught me some of the best lessons about coaching because he took this scrawny, you know, freshman and taught him how to pole vault. And I would look out across the field at the lacrosse team practicing and be like, oh, if only I could be playing that sport. And then Father McKernan would be, get back over here. It's time to pole vault, Johnny. Let's go. So that was my favorite memory, is that time spent with Father McKernan, really learning about a different way of coaching. He was a quiet man who paid close attention to detail and cared deeply about our lives. And that's the first time I had a coach who was soft-spoken, who held us to accountability and talked to us, not yelled. It's the first coach I had ever had who wasn't a yeller. And I was like, man, like he really knows this sport well. He is making me better at this new activity. And he's teaching me a new way to coach. I didn't know that I would need to coach that way until much later in life when I got my first high school basketball coaching job. And it was the women's basketball team, and I got out on the court, blew the whistle, started yelling. And about 2 minutes in, the captain came over and said, you didn't get the memo. We don't yell. This in general doesn't work. So you need to bring it down and talk to us. Tell us what you want us to do. And they were right, because they did it. So I was like, well, I just coach like Father McKernan. Good thing I have that example set for me. So those are some of my favorite spring memories, Tim.
Well, so there's that. And then I'm just like, okay, what about producer Jess? Come on, Jess. What do you got from the springtime memory bank?
Well, I'll tell you this much. I was never much for sports, especially in high school. And part of that was just I had a lot of chronic illness in high school. And so I went out for the softball team my sophomore year, and I really, really loved it. And then I was sick so often that I never even made it to a game. However, my thing is early spring, but still, I'm going to count it. When I was in middle school, I did forensics, and I absolutely loved that. Training for that would start in very late December, early January and February, and then we would have competitions in late March and early April. So for me, that was my big essential curricula activity when I was in middle school. And then when I was in high school, the one that I always, always, always looked forward to was the spring play or musical. And for me, that was the ultimate signal that the year was winding down, or for me, rather, winding up to that, you know, crescendo of final exams, which me being me, I liked it. I liked the season. Yeah. Okay. I like the testing a little bit. I know.
Yes,
but not the standardized testing. No. The exams, the final exams that were put together by my instructors. But for me, yeah, it was the spring play, and it was being in theater tech and doing the behind the scenes work that just for me, that was the big spring activity.
Well, see, and that's why we said, you know, the essentials too. And you know, we often, Johnny and I, and then Chad and Jimmy when they're on, and different coaches talk about sports, but to also call that out, as Johnny said, the Model UN, you know, the Civil War Club I did with the fifth graders, just the forensics, the spring play or musical that would go on, all of those things, you know, we talk about those. That's what this segment is really for, is to just remember, experience them, and then also to kind of put out there the advocacy of why they are essential, because of how they touch so many kids in ways that, you know what, sometimes sitting in a classroom paying attention to, you know, somebody like Johnny and Tim drone on, it just ain't their cup of tea. But man, when it comes time for, like you said, just, you know, to activate the stage crew, I mean, some of my best buddies, if it wasn't for stage crew, they might not have finished school, because it was that one thing that gave them that sense of going, you know, I got something to do. I have some responsibility, and what I do matters.
And I got a drill.
And they love the fact that, you know what, and the Black Rock concert t-shirts that I wear, mm-hmm. I get to use those now as part of what I have to wear when I'm doing, you know, the essential, because guess what? You had to wear all black when you were out there rechanging the crew. So I love that whole idea in spring, coming forward here. And, you know, the only negative reminder of spring is the Benadryl.
Allergies. Let's not even talk about that. Oh man, you are correct. Once that pollen is up in
there. Ooh, man, I tell you right now, in my backyard here in Ohio, the magnolia trees are in full bloom, and the bloom that comes out of my nose right now is not as pretty as a magnolia tree right there. So, you know, lots to go, though, and can't wait to continue to explore, you know, this segment as we go through the spring. Again, that's hurdles and home runs. Is that how you want me to say it, Johnny? Hurdles.
Say how you want.
Home and home runs. Home runs. Home runs.
The next episode is just going to be Tim experimenting with different ways to pronounce that.
Home runs. Home run?
All right. I think it might be time for a moment of some fun.
I think that's a great way to take us out, Tim.
Now is time for your moment of zen. In war, good guys always become bad guys.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Busted Pencils, Hurdles and Home Runs. Remember to grab great podcasts packed full with more Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course on that Civic Media website, or you can catch us at bustedpencils.com where you can follow, like, review, just do however you do. Hey, and don't be late for homeroom on Monday. And be sure to grab next week's class in session on Wednesday. If you don't already know, well then, hey, I'm going to tell you, and you're going to love this, but you can catch Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time every Saturday across all the Civic Media Network stations for an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.